Hello, Kentico developers. This is Brian Soltis and Brian McKeever coming at you again with our third edition of MVP Kentico Rocks, which is our MVP chat. And we've done two so far, and they've gone pretty good. Wouldn't you say so, Brian?
Yeah, I think it's been a big success. I've had a few people ping me about it, and they said they really enjoy listening. So hopefully we can keep providing that much value.
Right, you know, I think if we can knock, you know, some Pandora apps off people's listening on their way into work, that's the coup de grace, man. If we can achieve that, I think we'll be awesome. So,
yep.
All right, well, we've done a couple of these so far, and in the sessions we talked about some customizations inside of Kentico, some ways we've manipulated the UI, and our first one will be covered the Kentico connections, which were in Boston and London. And so this time we're gonna take it in a little slightly different direction. We're gonna try to give you a little more information on upgrading Kentico and kind of our experiences of how we've gone about it, areas that we know to look at to make sure everything goes smoothly, and you know, just some kind of tips that we've learned along the way. And maybe we'll let you know about some stuff that you don't know about that Kentico provides for you. So we're just gonna jump right into there. So I guess the first question for you, Brian, what is the first version, was the earliest version of Kentico that you have tried to upgrade?
Well, you're going back a little bit on me, but I'd say the first one I had to do was 3.0 to 3.1a. And back then, that really meant trying to figure it out on your own. You know, the documentation was a little sketchy, and it was like, here's a bit of code, and here's a SQL, have at it. They've come a long way. What about you? What was your earliest?
You know what? It's funny. I had the exact same one. I started out with version 3, and I went to version 3.1a myself. And it's exactly like you said. It really is a, you know, they did try to provide some good stuff, but obviously back then Kentico was still, you know, establishing themselves and their kind of support arm of their business and really trying to get as much, I think they were just trying to get as much information as they could, but really defining those steps for people was paramount to a high adoption rate for Kentico, and it wasn't quite there yet, but I think that they definitely have come a long way. And really as funny as the version that I upgraded was actually an ASPX site. So not only, you know, are we bringing in new DLLs and writing, executing these SQL scripts, we're actually going through ASPX pages to update controls, and back then you actually had to go into your files and change like reference paths and all kinds of stuff like that. So so yeah, that was my experience as well. Now I guess on the opposite end of that spectrum we kind of have today, and you know, with version 8 coming out in a few months, it's leaps and bounds. I mean, I can't even compare upgrading version 3.0 to 3.1a to the upgrade from 6 to 7. And that's largely in part due because we almost do all portal development now, but it's still, Kentico's documentation is so much more robust now, and they really package it up, and the introduction of the installation manager, the KIM, is a phenomenal idea. I mean, it allows people to do that on a large scale very quickly. I'm sure you're like me. I mean, I have several projects that I've worked on in which, you know, I don't just upgrade everything all at once. I have to do different projects at different times, depending on whether or not someone's going to pay me to upgrade the site and put forth the effort to do it. And the installation manager helps me figure out, you know, what I'm doing and which one, you know, what version each one is on. And then, you know, I can easily download it right from there too. I mean, I'm sure, do you use the installation manager? I'm sure you do. Do you ever do any manual ones these days?
No, you know, I really used to dread it, especially when you're talking like from a 4 to 5 or a 5 to 5.5. It's one of those things where, oh my gosh, I have to open up Visual Studio and I might have to add a new reference to a bin directory and worry about custom code or reference paths and all these extra things that made it really difficult, almost to the point to where it's like, okay, hold your breath, we're going to upgrade, make sure you have some really good backups.
That's exactly right.
That's feeling that it was, but yeah.
Right.
6 to 7 was the first time I think that they really hit the head on the nail, where it was, here's a tool. It's going to point out what you need to do. It's going to tell you the steps. It's even going to ask you to take backups as part of the automated process. And oh, by the way, after the process runs, we're going to point out to you any files that have been customized. It gives you that little dot new indicator and tells you that these files are not part of the stock installation of Kensco. You should go check these out and merge your changes in. And it gives you this nice little log at the end of the installation process with Kim that it's invaluable now. We rely on that big time, and we use Kim every day in our upgrades. It's also funny because it's not a seamless, like, no matter what version you're on, go to the recent in one step. And this is what I have to tell people very often, that, yeah, you have to follow the path that Kensco put out their major releases in. You can't go from 5 to 7. You have to go 5 to 5.5 to 5.5R2 to 6 to 7, but at least there's a tool that helps you do it now.
Yeah, we used to do the same thing, especially like an old site that we had someone running in 4 or 4.1, and you know, when 6 came out, everybody wanted just go from 4 to 6, and it doesn't work that way. You have to go through the process. But, I mean, if for those of you who aren't familiar with it, what you're really doing is, I mean, every time Kensco rolls out a new update or an upgrade, they're adding a ton of new functionality or enhancing an API or an underlying, you know, foundation or fundamental element or core functionality of Kensco that has to be in place for some of these upgrades to work, because the upgrade from like 6 to 7 may just enhance this new, you know, blog, you know, API or e-commerce API. But if you're in 4, you never have the one from 5, in which 5 was upgraded to 6, and it upgraded the same one. So that's why you kind of have to go through that process, just like you said, and it was something we always had to take into account. And while that scenario is not necessarily absolved now, it's still present, the Kim definitely expedites the whole process. And at least you have kind of this intuitive and logical progression of application of these updates and database updates, and you have a visual representation of, oh, okay, now I'm on version 6. Okay, version 7 is available. Okay, download that, apply that. And it's just like you said, we use that too about, these are the files that we've modified, that you had modified. So here's a new version of it. So you need to merge your code into it. And yeah, we've had to do that, especially a lot with our legacy apps. We've had to do that a lot of the time. So if someone's getting ready, and I'm not sure how far we go back in this discussion, maybe we kind of limit it to maybe 6 to 7, or we'll make it more generic than that, is that what's the first thing you start looking at when you're thinking of upgrading to Kensco site? What is kind of your mindset? What do you think about when you do it?
Well, the first thing I like to do is really make sure we have a clear understanding and a clear base that we can recover to if something goes wrong. So I like to take a step back, take a quick assessment, see, okay, I'm on version 6.0.3. All right, do I have a good code backup? Do I have a good database backup? And just in case if something goes wrong or I need to redo it because one of the parts doesn't work, I can recover back to that clean starting point. And that might also mean shrinking a transaction log in SQL Server first, cleaning up some temporary files in the app data directory, and making sure that there's not, like, 50,000 little things that aren't needed anymore in the regular usage of Kensco, like a bad smart search index was running out of control, which does happen, unfortunately, but you should know how to fix it by just clearing the temp directory. But yeah, I like to have that good starting point of being able to recover from. But then the most important step that I think some people miss is that after you run the Kim to go from like a 6 to 7, you can't immediately go right to the next hotfix without running the site at least once. Because the first run of a site that's just been upgraded usually includes an import package that has to run a SQL script to fix some of the built-in core parts of the Kensco objects, add some default queries to some new objects, set up some permissions to some new modules. I've seen it where some of my developers, even here at BizStream, they've just clicked the buttons to go from 6 to 7, didn't even run the site once to see if it worked, and then tried to go right to 7.045 or 50 or whatever the latest hotfix is, all in one step. So really, I can't stress enough that start from a good base, and then along the way, stop, make sure the site runs, log into the CMS desk before you go to the next hop, especially if you're doing like a 5.5 to a 7 where you have to go to 6 in the middle.
Oh yeah.
Make sure it runs correctly in 6 first. Don't just blindly think everything worked just because you didn't get an error with the Kim. So definitely take your time and check it out.
Yeah, we do the exact same thing. The only, I guess I would add to it is, we, if I can help it, we never modify Kensco code. We never modify Kentico core functionality if we can help it in any way. We always take a backup and we, you know, make a copy of the particular web part or whatever it is. But when you upgrade, you definitely have to make sure that you have a situation where you don't have Kentico modified code, because that's a, it's just another thing that we think about. In addition to the stuff you mentioned, obviously backup first, without a doubt, backup first. And then that is a big step. I mean, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. That is definitely a big step that, I've encountered myself. You know, when I first did an upgrade, I maybe didn't run, you know, run the site initially. And then to that, as opposed to running it, is also just building it, making sure it will compile, which, again, if you had some legacy code or some maybe some custom modules that use a deprecated API that's no longer supported or something, you know, building it before you start rolling into the site and hotfixing and stuff will also let you know. If you're using a website project, you know, it's easy just to do the upgrade and then just go, you know, just go do something, because, you know, that page may not be hit initially. If it, you know, if it doesn't compile, you'll never know about it until you actually try to hit it. If you're using a web app, it's a little bit easier because it kind of forces you to have to rebuild that application. But I think that's a real, I think those two combined are really good. I think another good point is obviously make sure you have a valid license. Make sure your license is up to date. Because if you get your hands on an upgrade, but if you don't have valid license for it, it's not going to do you any good. Definitely pulling a backup of your database is a good idea, too. And there is a lot of code. I mean, I was actually surprised one day. I was working with some Kentico support guys on something else, and we were trying to look into a particular issue that I was having with something. And they showed me in the code where it does, if first run, you know, then do this, this, and this. And it's basically, like you said, it's cleaning up some loose ends and reassociating some new information that, you know, that, or some existing information with some new information that needs to happen that first time that site is run. So that's a good idea. I mean, that's definitely an imperative step to it.
Well, and there's also some known issues that I'm sure you've run into that you do have to be aware of. Like, especially when you went from 6 to 7, there's some namespace changes to some of the core tree helper and document engine and document helper libraries of code that Kentico has changed. And if anyone's out there that's listening that that isn't aware of the fact that Kentico has a great blog on DevNet, and it gives you a great resource that's usually an Excel file that you can download, and it tells you all of the namespace changes that if you are doing more code-based activities, that you should be aware of those, because chances are, after you run the raw upgrade wizard, you might see a yellow .NET error or a hard error at runtime, and it might be complaining about, I can't find this namespace. Or my favorite one is actually the URL helper method or object was changed by just case.
Yep.
So it's like uppercase URL versus lowercase URL or something like that. I see it every time. And I've had some customers kind of say, what is this? This is crazy. I'm like, oh yeah, just go in there and change the letter. Yeah. It'll be fine. Don't worry. Just, it's a known issue. And so that I can't, you know, I would definitely recommend to people getting to that the blog at DevNet, downloading that Excel thing and having that ready, so that way you can react to those errors if they come up, because some will come up. The URL one and the tree engine one was a core namespace change that you have to fix. The wizard won't do that for you.
Those are obviously breaking changes, which are and they tend to note them, like you said, in that documentation. I mean, they tend to know about those ahead of time, so they try to get those out there. And then on the same kind of thread is, when you do an upgrade like that, I remember when it was in like version 5.5 or 5.5R2, and you needed to interact with, you know, the file system. You'd have to do that yourself or whatever. And then Kentico introduced the CMSIO namespace. And then obviously Kentico is now providing this prepackaged namespace that allows you to interact with the file system. And not only that, but it's actually integrated to work with Azure or Amazon or, you know, whatever cloud environment. That's like brand new functionality. So they would also denote that in their documentation. So not only are you fixing something that might be broken, they're introducing new namespaces and new APIs that you can leverage inside your application, which I'm sure you're just like me. You'll spend, you know, months developing some functionality to make something awesome and work great, and then the next update rolls out and now it's included in Kentico and it's totally negated, you know, your 6 months of development to make this awesome
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Let's see, what other tips can we give people on upgrades? I think it's really important to definitely study the documentation that comes with the upgrades. It's listed in the KIM. They obviously have tons of it on the website, but I think that will help you kind of prevent the breaking changes like you just kind of talked about, and then also expose you to the new capabilities and new functionality that's there. I think that's really important because it does you no good to keep your old code running in new. I mean, I guess it will still function. And Kentico actually does a pretty good job of keeping deprecated code, and whether it's obsolete, they'll still provide support for it. But unless you're looking at the new APIs and the new namespaces, you're really missing out on a ton of work that they've been doing over the last release to bring you new functionality.
Right. Yeah, and there's even new settings in the application that can help out from a performance standpoint. You know, 6 and 7, the newer versions, they introduced things like debugging on the live site. They introduced gzip compression, JavaScript minification, CSS minification, all these new things that if you're upgrading, sometimes those things aren't turned on, and you might want to utilize that to make your site run faster and use the new parts of the core engine. One of my other favorite upgrade issues, if you're going from 6 to 7 and you utilize Kentico EMS's activity tracking and lead scoring and some of the advanced features where we're tracking data based on public users, sometimes the public user itself doesn't have the checkbox that says track activity, and it looks like the activity tracking isn't working, but you've got to check out the public user attribute that says track data or enable online marketing, and you also have to do that at the top level root node of your site in CMS desk to make sure all of your pages inherit and say track data. So from an EMS standpoint, there's a few things that you want to watch out for on that upgrade if you're going from older version to newer version that you don't have to worry about it if you're starting with a clean 7.0 instance.
Yeah.
But if you're coming from 5.5, you do have to worry about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of those improvements like on the product level too. If you're running an e-commerce site, you obviously have more capabilities, more, you know, the A/B testing, the MVT testing, all it's the different properties of a product. They're going to enhance those and they're going to add more functionality to it. But unless you go in there and adjust it and configure your legacy data, you're never going to be able to take advantage of it, exactly like you said. So, so I think that's a really good idea. I would also say, and this is just a question for you, I mean, how soon after 8 comes out will you look into upgrading, you know, or when a new version comes out, how soon do you go into upgrade a site?
Yeah, it's a great question. We have all sorts of different customers at BizTrim. We have some customers that want to be on the bleeding edge, and they're pushing the boundaries of using some of the new functionalities in Kentico. Others that aren't necessarily too concerned about new functionality because their sites aren't, it's not like they're not working with the version 6 they're using or the version 7, and they're not quite ready to run to 8. So it's, we're all over the place. I would say the majority of the time, we're not right away on the first 7.0 or 6.0 or even 8.0 versions. We're really waiting for a few hot fixes to come out to make sure that we don't, you know, live on the edge too much. So I now in development, I'm already using 8.0, and I think you are too, because we've got those CTP versions, and I love some of the new capabilities with the new modules, and that's cool in a development scenario. But using a production website on the most recent newest build, we usually like to wait for at least a hot fix or two. And knowing Kentico's great policy of hotfixing almost every week, you're not waiting very long. And chances are, you might still be worrying about your requirements of your site versus are you on 8.0 or 8.01 or 8.02. So
exactly. Yeah, we follow the same kind of thing. You know, it's every project's different. Every client's different. We like to take advantage of the new functionality when we can. And when it makes sense, you know, we obviously go through the upgrade process. But again, it's different everyone. It takes a lot of investigation, and we have to weigh, you know, the risks or, you know, the development effort that's needed, how much customization has been done to the site, how many of our modules we need to go in and update because of the namespace changes, different things like that. So, I mean, it's always different how we do it. So we follow the same kind of process you do. I personally recommend maybe waiting a week or two before they get all the big items. You know, anything glaring, they'll find it pretty quick. So that way you can kind of get around that issue because they'll already have that hotfix out there waiting for you. So I mean, as I'm sure as everyone can tell, it's upgrading and hotfixing, It's a never-ending battle that you will always do. But, you know, with the good, you know, with the bad also comes the good. I mean, you get new functionality, you get new features, you get new capabilities, and, you know, that's why Kentico is always cranking them out. You know, that's why they always put out a new version, because they're always trying to get this new functionality out to people. So, yep. You know, you just have to weigh, you know, when is the best time for you to do it. And the main thing I'm kind of guessing or kind of taking from your nice conversation is really just need to educate yourself about the hotfix, you know, and just don't go crazy with it. I mean, you can cook bacon without a shirt on, I guess, if you want to, but, you know, I pull it back up, test it, make sure it builds, and then I'd roll forward with that. And then, you know, just make sure you read up, do your homework on it. Kentico has a lot of stuff inside of there. They do a lot of, they put a lot of effort into documenting what's different and what they, you know, what they know about, but, you know, they're not perfect. And no one is, but at least Kentico has a great bug fix policy, and they'll come back and roll out that hotfix as soon as they're aware of it. So,
yeah, I guess just one other quick thing that I'm thinking as far as tips go is the fact that it's also, if you're doing a major point upgrade, it's a great time to maybe step back and do a quick assessment of some of the scheduled tasks in the system. Are you using all of them? Is the timing right? You know, you could sometimes there's new scheduled tasks introduced that relate to e-commerce that maybe your site isn't e-commerce based, so you don't want those running every minute. Or things like rerunning your smart search index to make sure it's optimized and it's rebuilt, because the chances are there might be some new attributes in the doc types that may not have been searched before. So we usually like rebuild the search index. And then don't forget the SQL side of things. After an update, a lot of things can happen. Maybe shrinking a transaction log is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Or calling a re-index command to make sure your SQL database is still flying as fast as it can. Lots of different things you can do, but maybe that's more of a standard .NET app thing. But don't forget those things, too, because the database does matter.
Oh, yeah. Much as those .NET developers would like to not think so. that's a good point, actually, though, Nana, doing some house cleaning and making sure everything's running smoothly. So. Hopefully everyone got a lot out of this. I mean, this is just kind of our experience with it. We actually originally thought this would be a fairly quick conversation and we might cover a few other things, but as with most things, we can talk for a while on just about any topic, and I think there's a lot of good info that we can give on this topic. I mean, I'm sure Brian and I could talk for another 20 minutes on upgrading, but that's for another time. So
that's right. Well, where can people find more information about upgrading from you, Brian?
For me, well, I definitely put it out on my blogs, as I have mentioned many times over, at bitwizards.com/blogs. You'll find my name down there, and I do tweet on occasion, Brian_Soltis. And on DevNet, you know, just watch that bug tracker over there and kind of look for the features that are upcoming. They'll give you a timeline and a roadmap of what's coming with the new version with everyone that they do. And I would imagine they'd be able to find something from you, Brian.
Yeah, I have quite a few tips, I think, that revolve around upgrades and performance optimization at my blog at mcbeeve.com. Definitely can follow me at Twitter, at mcbeeve. And yeah, I mean, feel free to email me too, mcbeeve@gmail. But, that's it for upgrading on episode number 3 of Kentico Rocks. Please, if anyone has any feedback, let us know. Get a hold of us. We're hoping that we're doing a great job of spreading some knowledge to the Kentico community. So thanks for listening, and we will check in with you next time.
Thanks, everyone.